Blog Talk Radio.
Yakuza! Yakuza! Yakuza Kick Radio!
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 This is the bulldozer, Matt Tremont. And if there's one place to listen to on the internet, every Thursday, 9 p.m., Yakuza Kick Radio. Tremont says so. Who wants some?
God help us, Jesus! God and baby, Jesus! Help us.
Ladies and gentlemen of fucking America, this is Danny Havoc, and you have been listening to, or possibly are intending to listen to, the Yakuza Kick fucking radio. Fucking, yeah! Yakuza Kick Radio.
Hell fucking yeah!
My name is Justice Payne, and you are listening to Yakuza Kick Radio.
You're coming to come on Thursday night in California!
This is a brotherhood, and we all stick together. Like my nuts.
I ain't scared of you motherfuckers.
Yakuza Kick Radio, the best in internet wrestling radio, period, bar none, just like Adam Cole.
Everybody's a cunt but me in the world. I don't know what it is.
But you go to the back, and you tell your boss that there's a new Yakuza in town. And it's Yakuza Kick Radio, and we're taking over.
Yakuza Kick Radio has risen from the ashes of bad internet radio and become the premier place for any independent professional wrestler to stop and record their voice.
Well, this is Mr. Insanity, Toby Klein, and if you're not listening to Yakuza Kick Radio, then you're weird.
Oh, I don't like the cut of your jib, fella.
This is Greg Excellent, Bearded Dragon of the Northeast. You're listening to Yakuza Kick Radio. If you're not, probably watching porn and you have this muted. You should be listening to it, Jason Mann.
Where are Biggie and Tupac?
Yakuza Kick Radio.
Give a nigga rope one of that cowboy, guys.
All you have to do is listen to Yakuza Kick Radio, but you didn't. Now look at that doctor, homie. Fuck that. Black me. Ow.
Bullshit, man. Motherfucker.
Fuck you. Fuck you and fuck you. Who's next?
And now, ladies and gentlemen, for the introduction.
Hosted by J. Cat Morris.
You are now listening to Yakuza Kick Radio.
Wednesday, September 19th, 2012. Welcome to Yakuza Kick Radio. I'm your host, J. Cat Morris, as always. And I'm going to be doing this shit once again. Now, man, I have so much to get into. So much to get into. And, you know, hopefully everybody could get with it or whatever. You know what I mean? Alright, now, first off, I'm tired, kind of delirious, and whatnot, and I'm gonna tell you all a story later on in the show, and you know towards the end of the show once I get through all the sports and the wrestling and all that stuff, and it might change the mood of the show. It might do, you know, things that, you know, my show has never really done before. You know, I talk a lot of shit. I talk wrestling. I talk my opinion on things, my opinion on sports. Well, this is some kind of like some life shit, some shit that I've, you know, I dealt with today, but it's an ongoing thing of something that goes on, you know, with my job. And I don't really mingle my job with this show type thing because I talk a lot of shit and I say fucking cunt a lot. So, you know, you don't necessarily want to tie that directly into your job, even though I say those things in my job as well, but I digress. Nick, who has been coming on for weeks, he is not able to come on tonight. He is actually, Nick Two Scoops Russell from the Sports Den. Normally they do the Sports Den after this show. Well, not necessarily after this show, like 10:30 Eastern, and they talk all sorts of sports. And that show consists of Nick Two Scoops Russell, Paul Doob, and Roy Herman. Well, Doob, he's down in Jacksonville right now. It's actually his birthday today, so if he does get a chance to listen to this, birthday shout-out, happy birthday to Doob. That's the dude that masterly, I don't know if he invented it or not, but the jalapeno poppers I have been enjoying for the first 2 weeks of the season. I give full credit to him for that because that was his creation, or at least he introduced me to this classic Sunday recipe. Again, happy birthday to that dude. But Nick and Roy Herman, the other two guys from the show, are actually on their way to Philadelphia today or tonight. I don't even know why. I'm sure I'll find out later on. But he had sent me his picks. I believe he sent me them via text, like, I don't know, 2 minutes before the show started. So I don't know how to read text and talk on the phone. So I'll just tell you, you know, when I get to the football stuff, I'll tell you guys what where all of our rankings are. I'm going to give you my picks tonight. I also have Stan's picks tonight. And I'll tell you where all three of us have ranked thus far. And I'll read, you know, the text after this show. I'll write it down on paper. And then next week, again, we will land where we land. And the three of us will rank where we rank. Before I get into that football thing, I got to say, this is a weird thing. I've told people time and time again, I really, really need listeners, and I have tried many avenues to do so. Now, I got to give all of my my podcast family credit for any additional listeners I've gotten, because honestly, I can only do so much. What I can do is I can possibly keep listeners if they do happen to pop over here. They enjoy what they're hearing, hopefully tell some friends. Maybe I can gain listeners that way. Maybe I can keep listeners if they do listen in. However, I can only gain so many listeners out of my own mouth. Well, my, as I call it, my podcast family, starting with the Wrestling Soup, which is really the way that I was introduced to a lot of these other people. It started a ball rolling, and I'm sorry if I'm boring people. I'll get the other stuff soon. You know, it started the ball rolling. They have a tremendous following. And amongst that following, they also have other people who do their own shows. And they also became friends of mine. And, you know, I listen to their shows and they listen to mine. And, you know, including, like I said, Nick Two Scoops Russell and Paul Doob, who do the Sports Den. And, you know, Doob will go on Two Moms, One Show, and he'll do recipes on there, and Nick will come on here and do some football stuff, and we listen to each other's shows, and they're all really good stuff. Andrew Carluck of Stern Nation, you know, he's got the girls Bree and Steph on there, and, you know, they do a great, it's like a Stern wrap-up show, like a super fan Stern podcast, and it's an awesome show. I love it. So he became like a huge, you know, supporter of what I'm doing. I'm supporting what he's doing. It works hand in hand. Women Love Wrestling too. They do a show on the same night as me, and it shows, you know, overall love for each other's product, because I don't mind it. The fact that they're coming on in, I want to say, I'm bad with time. Well, anyway, 9:30 Eastern they come on, and they're on Blog Talk Radio now too. I listen to them on the download. I encourage all of you to do the same. And if you're listening to me on the download, well, shit, go pick them up on the download too. Or maybe you're already listening to them live. I'm not sure. But all I could say is these are good shows to listen to. These are things you want to continue to listen to and check them out. And, you know, maybe you'll like them like I like them. You know, I give much credit to them. Oh, Yolanda over there at the Shiznet. She does her show tomorrow night. She runs the Indie Grind. She does the Gimmick Tee. She does all that stuff. All these people have helped me. Bottom line is, what I'm getting to is, I've been struggling and struggling and struggling. This past week, I have watched my downloads on the Yakuza thing climb to astronomical levels. to the point where I am pretty much convinced that it's a complete error and there's something wrong, because I cannot imagine that that amount of people have downloaded my show. And, man, I would love to be wrong. I would love to be positive about this, but it's such a drastic incline in such a short amount of time that I have a hard time buying it. So, again, if these amount of people are listening to me, welcome. Please tell a friend. Please keep listening. All this shit. And if, fuck it, if it's not, the people who are listening, please keep listening. Please tell a friend, because I would love to have those listeners on a weekly basis. It's unbelievable. And I only do this, you know, for the sake of loving to talk. And, you know, maybe people will like to hear what the fuck I got to say. Who knows? I talk, you know, I cover a lot of ground, so why not? All right. Let's get right into it. Let me see. Let's talk some NFL. Yeah, bitch. Yeah, I can only play the music so long. I gotta eventually talk, I guess, right? All right. Here we go. NFL. Now, I'm going to kind of flip back and forth between my picks and what happened last week. A couple notable things. I'm going to actually talk about what happened last week first. And then, you know, let me go through some of that stuff. Now, on Thursday, the Packers beat the Bears. Now, you know, we beat the Packers week one, and I didn't think for one second that, yeah, hey, man, these Packers are just a team that everyone's going to roll over from now on. It was a team that I felt like we completely deservingly beat. I do, you know, to not to toot my own horn, but I do believe we're the best team in the NFL, and, you know, I'm going to stick by that statement until, you know, we're proven wrong. And why not? Why shouldn't I feel that way? Look at the power rankings. We're sitting right up top. So, all right, but the Packers are still the Packers. Aaron Rodgers is still probably the best quarterback in football right now. He's not just going to lay down and allow, you know, teams to run over him week in and week out. He went in there and he proved it against the Bears. The Packers' defense stepped up big time, which, again, huge testament to our offense that we were able to keep them away from our quarterback and doing that type of thing. Alex Smith threw zero picks against that team. You know, caught a sack or two. I can't really remember from first game. But you know what? Jay Cutler acted like a stupid bitch. Like, he just acted like a whiny little bitch. And, you know, he got sacked seven times. He threw four picks. He's, like, pushing his linemen around. And it's funny. I actually had to rewind it and watch it again because, like, the size of this lineman next to him, it's like, what would you do if he fucking flipped out? Like, you're pushing this fucking giant dude and yelling at him and stuff like he's a child. Like, what would you do if this fucking guy turned around and grabbed you? Like, there's nothing you can do. Nothing. You're fucking helpless if that happened. So, I don't know. That was just me. I just thought it was hilarious. But I just thought he acted like a total bitch. Even after the game, he was whining and just, he just looked like a kid that just didn't get his way or something. Like, I mean, clearly didn't get his way with seven sacks and four picks. But, you know, the Packers definitely, you know, put it on them. And, you know, they earned that win. So, you know, it's, you know, divisional stuff and they're going to be what they're going to be, and they're not going to just lay down. I didn't believe they deserved 15-0 last year. Believe me, they scraped out games against the Minnesota Vikings at the end of the game that, come on, the Vikings weren't shit back then. They ended up taking the loss, the big loss, to the Kansas City Chiefs of all teams. So, I mean, let's just keep it real on what the team was. Yes, they had a lot of W's, but those W's weren't just steamroll victories. They weren't, you know, like when the Patriots have gone on their runs and they won every game by like 20, 30 points. Like, that was not the season they had. They consistently put up points, but they got into a lot of shootouts because their defense was never, ever that strong. Has its moments, but never that strong. So, anyway, the Packers won. You're going to see wins out of them. You're not going to see them fold up and, you know, call it a season. But they do have their weaknesses. We exposed that. The Bears weren't able to. So, again, the Packers won. Then you had the Bills beat the Chiefs pretty bad. Now, here's the thing. This week was definitely full of completely lopsided, like, you did not see a lot of this stuff coming. The week before, the Bills got completely just embarrassed by the Jets, and they went in there and they embarrassed the Chiefs. They didn't have a lot wrong with what they were doing. They dominated the Chiefs, and they showed them what was up, for sure. The Bengals beat the Browns, but not by much. And if you look at what the Ravens did to them week one, and then you turn around and look at them barely beating the Browns did not look bad in this game. And they didn't look bad when the Eagles beat them either. I mean, the Eagles barely scraped it out against them. Now the Bengals barely scraped it out them. The Browns seem like they're kind of on the cusp of being a team that's going to win a good portion of games. Their defense actually comes through pretty well. Their running back was pretty beast this past week. I don't know. I just don't think the Bengals should be too proud. I don't think the Eagles should be too proud. And, you know, there's just some stuff going on. The Browns, you know, they definitely have some hurdles to leap still. They definitely have some things to accomplish before they can call themselves established or anything like that. But they're in there right now. They're fighting it out with teams and, you know, coming off on the losing end. But, I mean, the Bengals and the Eagles, who are, you know, supposed tops of their division or guys who are going to contend in their division, they're going to have problems during the end of the season, you know. So that's just my opinion. The Dolphins beat the Oakland Raiders pretty heavily, and Reggie Bush just snapped off 172 yards, two touchdowns. And if you look at those two touchdowns, they were impressive touchdowns. These weren't just like the line parts, like Emmitt Smith used to walk through the fucking giant hole in the line and like, well, that took no athleticism. You can teach a kid how to walk and put him right through that line about the same week. But no, I mean, this dude made move upon move for the one touchdown, and he displayed complete just breakout speed, cut the corner on the outside and couldn't be stopped. And this is something that you don't see a lot of Reggie Bush of in past, you know, recent years. Reggie Bush, I don't know if someone just decided to, hey, Reggie, did anybody ever tell you that everyone thinks you're a bust? And maybe he just completely looked at that, some statement like that, and was just like, what? Fuck that. And fucking came out here and just busted his ass. I think he's within the top five rushers of the league right now. And that's, again, pretty shocking for what Reggie Bush has been doing the past couple of years, in my opinion. So he snapped off for the Dolphins, and I mean, for their sake, I hope you know, that continues. They're up against the Jets this week, you know, division rival and all that. So I mean, that could go either way. Either way, I should say. Oh man, another huge surprise: the Cardinals beat the Patriots 20-18 this week. Now listen. Everybody is talking about, oh, that fucking field goal kicker missed a field goal in the end to lose the game. And then they're talking about a ref call. Oh, these replacement refs completely blew it for the Patriots. Now listen, last week, nobody in their right mind would have came out of their mouth with a statement like, I think the Cardinals are going to beat the Patriots. Nobody. People laughed. People said, oh, they're going to kill them. Oh, hands down. Right across the board. You can ask four people in a row and they'd all be like, fucking, why are you even asking me that question? Patriots, 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 Patriots. Like, straight up. Like, even, let me see if I can find it. Great radio. Shit. I'm trying to find a week two picks because I'm pretty sure. Pretty sure. Yeah, here we go. Week two picks. Yeah. Me, Nick, and Stan. New England, not only to win, New England favored by 13.5 points. And all three of us said New England. We expected them to win by two touchdowns. So now, when the Cardinals go out there and beat you as the New England Patriots at home in New England, don't tell me that you botched a kick and that's why you lost. Don't tell me that a ref blew a fucking call and that's why you lost. You lost because Tom Brady went 28 for 46. That's a lot of fucking thrown passes for 28 completions. He had one touchdown, one interception, and four sacks. And all he did week one was beat the Titans that got trounced this week. Don't come out there and start telling me that the Patriots are the world beaters they've always been known as, and then turn around and say the ref screwed you and that one call made you lose the game. Well, you could split hairs if you want to, but Tom Brady's 316 yards with only one touchdown, yeah, great amount of yards. Tom Brady's going to throw the ball, fine. But if it took you 46 passes to complete 28 as Tom Brady, don't fool yourself. There's a reason why Tom Brady's not one of the top five ranked quarterbacks in the NFL, and that's a weird statement to say, but there's a reason why he's not, and it ain't the refs, and it ain't the kicker. So there you go. Big shocker. By all means, it's a shocker. I'm not saying, hey, I called that. No, I sure as shit didn't, and I don't know a guy who did. So, but look at your own team before you start looking at the pinstripes, because damn. All right. The Giants posted a comeback win over the Bucks, 41-34. Now, for the majority of the game, the Bucks had this game on lock. They had this game won in the first half. They had it. They had the Giants looking stupid. Yeah, the Giants week one. A lot of the talk this week. Now, they may be completely fluke wins. They may just be complete upsets. Or in several points that I have to make this week, it may be the beginning of seeing the mighty have fallen. Maybe not, hey, you're finishing last in your division or anything like that, but maybe these aren't the teams that we were looking at last year. Just maybe. Now, the Giants, first week, lost to their division rival, the Dallas Cowboys. Everyone was surprised. The first half of this game was dominated by the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. I mean, that should make a statement. And I know the Bucs are improved from the team they were last year. But let's be real. The Buccaneers dominating the New York Giants for the first half of the game isn't something that, if you're not a Bucs fan, that you would predict. Of course, my friend Nick would, but he's a Bucs fan. Now, you allow, as far as the Bucs go, as far as Nick goes, I mean, if you want to, you want to sit on any type of horse that's higher than 3 feet tall, you better talk about how to stop a guy like Eli Manning throwing for 510 yards. That ain't good. That definitely doesn't show that you have any type of secondary. That shows you have severe weakness. 510 yards out of Eli Manning. He threw three touchdowns. He also threw three picks and still was able to host a comeback that had 24 points scored in the fourth quarter by the Giants. And yet the Bucs put up another touchdown in the fourth quarter. But other than that touchdown, the Giants put up 24 points in the fourth quarter to close out this game, come back, win it. And, of course, that's what's going to happen. You let a quarterback throw 510 yards and score 24 points in the fourth quarter, and don't plan on a win. So that's how I feel about that. That's crazy. I don't think the Giants should be too proud of letting the Bucks in the game, but if you could throw 510 yards against another team, then you're looking at the playoffs come end of the season. I don't care how you look in the first half. You score 24 points in the fourth quarter, you 510 yards over the course of the game, those three picks ain't going to mean much when the game's over, because I don't know too many teams that are losing too often with 510 yards passing. So that's that. The Eagles win their second straight game by 1 point. First to Cleveland, then to Baltimore. They win their second straight game. Between game one and game two, 9 combined turnovers. 9 combined turnovers. Again, don't pat yourself on the back, Eagles fans. I actually got it, I had somebody, you know, of course I'm gloating on online about my team and stuff, and I posted my "Who's got it better than us? Nobody." And I get a response from an Eagles fan. I'm not going to put him on blast, Fredo, but, you know, don't come on my thing and be like, "Yeah, we're 2-0 too. Yeah. Yeah, you are. And you have 9 turnovers. I think Michael Vick, oh, man, I can't even remember exactly where his ranking was. Let me see if I could find it while I'm talking. But 9 turnovers in the first 2 combined games is not a good look. That's not where you start talking to other people like, "Yeah, we're an awesome team too." Like, yeah, listen, you scraped out your victories. That quarterback is lucky if he makes it out of week 6 the way he's playing. That's crazy as hell. So let me see now. Let me see where Mr. Michael Vick is actually ranked. Oh, he is ranked 29th in quarterback rankings. So does that sound like a team who could say, "We have 2 wins, we're just as good as you"? Oh, look at this. Alex Smith is ranked number 2 in the league as quarterback. And believe me, I'm a Niners fan. That feels weird coming out of my mouth by far. To look at the top 10 and know that Peyton Manning, Aaron Rodgers, Eli Manning, Tom Brady are not in the top 10 quarterbacks of the NFL right now is unbelievable to look at. But please, Eagle fans, with your 29th ranked Michael Vick, don't tell me how you have 2 wins and it's just the same as me with 2 wins. Everybody, NFL analysts across the board are calling us the team to beat. If they're not calling us the best in the league, they're definitely calling us the best in the NFC. Nobody's talking about, "Hey, the Eagles are the next coming." Oh, yeah. You see those Eagles with that 1-point win 2 weeks in a row and 9 turnovers? Look at them go. No one's saying that. Stop it. Calm down with your 2 wins. Your 2 silly little wins. All right. The Saints fall to the Panthers, 35-27. Now, this is another one. Man, the Saints are 0-2. They lost to the Redskins week 1. They lost to the Panthers week 2. Sean Payton not being at the helm, I think, is a big, big game changer. I also think Jonathan Vilma not being in that on that defense, I think, is a big, big game changer. I do think Drew Brees is going to do some work this year. I don't think he's going to fall by the wayside and be some, you know, well, the Saints are back to the basement. Again, I'm not saying anything like that, but I think that division is wide open now. I don't think the Saints just hands down own that division. I don't. I really don't. I think you got problems over there in New Orleans, and it ain't just the Hurricanes. You guys got problems. Really, it's not the team that we saw a couple years ago. It's not the team that won the Super Bowl. It's you're not looking at this team anymore. You got one of the best quarterbacks in the league that, again, is not ranked in the top 10 right now, and there's reasons for that. There's stats that back that up. This isn't my 10 list. This is, you know, the power rankings, the stats, and all of that. So, I don't know. Another scary thing to look at. The Texans beat up the Jacksonville Jaguars 27-7. The Texans are one of those teams, you know, they were on the cusp last year. They just missed making the bowl and, you know, making it down that final stretch. They just missed making that, and they're another one of those dangerous teams. Even without Mario Williams, those guys are still a force to be reckoned with week in and week out, and they beat up the Jacksonville Jaguars, who may sooner than later become the London Jaguars, which, of course, I hate the idea of. And, that's that. Oh, man. The Rams beat the Redskins 31-28. And, again, RG3 is putting on performance after performance, he has become an immediate superstar. Barring any injury, this guy will be Rookie of the Year. He will be a star for years to come. This guy is a force to be reckoned with. He is a game changer. You don't know any quarterback that stepped onto the Washington Redskins for a long time to just completely change the game and make the Redskins just as viable as anybody else in the NFC East, which has always been a very, very scrappy division. If they continue to play like they are, they're going to make a run for the NFC East title, mark my words. And as young as that is, I'm telling you, it's not that far-fetched. You're talking about the Cowboys, you're talking about the Giants who've showed weakness, and you're talking about the 9-turnover-having Philadelphia Eagles winning by 1.2 games in a row. Believe me, the Washington Redskins coming into the season, beating the New Orleans Saints, and then turning around and going, putting up 28 points and barely losing to the Rams thanks to Josh Morgan, that jackass, gave up a field goal situation because he caught the ball, didn't like how he was touched while getting up, and threw the ball at the defender in front of the ref to end the game, turn it from a 40-something, which would have been a 40-something yard field goal to tie the game, to a 60-something yard field goal, which we know only 49ers hit 63-yard field goal. Nah, it was supposed to be like, I think, it was supposed to be 65 or 6, like well out of range, you know, over the record type thing. So, yeah, but what a jackass. Unsportsmanlike conduct, 15-yard penalty, game over. You ended the possibility of your team even tying that game to go to overtime or anything like that. That was a jackass move. If I was the coach, I would sit him on his ass next week, period. No matter how much it hurts to lose a receiver or anything like that, I would sit him on his ass. Teams have cut guys for shit like that, you know? So I don't know. That's just my opinion. Now, the Seahawks went in there, and they proved that, like I said, the Cowboys beat the Giants week one. That's because that division is scrappy. Any given week, any given Sunday, for any given NFC East team playing each other, they all seem to have each other's numbers. They could have the top record in that division. They could have the lowest record in that division. But when they clash, those teams bang out. That's just what happens. So seeing them beat the Giants week one wasn't really a shock. I didn't consider, okay, the Cowboys are those guys now. I didn't see it that way. So the Seahawks went in there and they beat the Cowboys 27-7, clearly proving that the Cowboys aren't quite there yet. Clearly proving that Tony Romo is still not there yet. I don't even want to say yet. Come on, man. That's not a team that you can, you know, hoist up and say, oh, yeah, we got this NFC East. Or, you know, you lose to the Seahawks, and the Seahawks aren't doing bad right now, but you lose to them 27-7, and you got some work to do. The Steelers beat the Jets 27-10, which again shows that the Jets are not automatically a great team because now they have Tim Tebow. Now, Sanchez put up great numbers in the first game and obviously struggled against a team like the Steelers, but this is going to be a long season for the Jets, as every season is long for the Jets. Ask any Jet fan. You know, by midseason, they're hyped. By season's end, they're depressed. That's just the way Jets seasons go. And the Steelers, you know, not one of those teams that's just going to lay down. So, they're going to bang out a lot, and they're going to bounce back and forth. The Steelers obviously have a little bit, you know, difficulties and things to talk about, but they went in there to beat the Jets. So that's that. The Chargers went in there and beat the Titans. They beat the shit out of the Titans, 38-10, showing that the Titans are looking like one of these bottom-of-the-barrel teams this year. They lost to the Patriots, but, again, the Patriots go in there and lose to the Arizona Cardinals. I mean, I don't know if we're just going to go ahead and call them, you know, the Pats of old. And the Chargers beat the living shit out of the same team that, you know, New England didn't do the same type of damage to. They put up points on them and everything, but the Titans are not looking like a good team whatsoever right now. Chris Johnson is definitely not showing up. He's not making it far out of the backfield very often, and that's not a good look for the Titans. This brings me to my next game. My guys over there in
San Francisco.
Yeah, man. So we went there, you know, and we beat the Lions. Alex Smith threw for 226 yards, two touchdowns to Vernon Davis, who has, you know, resorted to a jump shot over the goalpost. And, you know, respectable move. He is, you know, he lost the dunk contest last week. And then, you know, show up a little pull-up jumper. No problem. Gore went in for a touchdown. You know, no crazy handshake antics at the end of the game. You know, we just played a solid game. Defense showed up. Offense showed up. Just looking just really well put together. Another team, you know, another playoff team in the Lions that never led the game against us. So, I mean, again, I can't be nothing but proud of my guys right now. You know, might be biased or anything, but we're looking at the stats and looking at the other people that are ranking my team. And right now, it's not even biased. It's just the truth. And like I said, anything can happen. The season is young, but, you know, see what's up. Well, then you have the Falcons beating the Broncos 27-21. Man, that's one of those things, man. The Broncos came out on fire. Just completely on fire. Week one, the Broncos just put it down. Made it look like Peyton Manning had no, he didn't lose a fucking step. But, you know, now you got the number one rated quarterback in the league in Matt Ryan. And who would think that you could utter the statement, Peyton Manning threw three picks in the first quarter. Well, that's a game changer for sure, because it's not something that Peyton's done in a very long time. I think the last time he did that was actually in his rookie season. And, you know, Peyton's been pretty solid since. Not the type of guy who's, you're used to seeing throw three picks in the first quarter. Now, Peyton's not a guy who throws three picks in a single game that often, let alone one quarter. So, yeah, that's definitely a game changer. The Falcons have a pretty strong team going for them there. And another contention team. Like I said, New Orleans is not just going to run away with that that division anymore. It's just not going to go that easy. So, you know, you got some things to think about there. And everybody else out there has got, you know, contend with those guys. And coming down the pipe, you got something to deal with there. All right, so let me run down these games real quick. Give you a little bit of reason and, you know, do that. Starting off the week, you have the New York Giants taking on the Carolina Panthers, and the Giants are favored by 1.5. I got to take the Giants because Carolina has been up and down. The Giants have also been up and down. But we're talking about 1.5. We're pretty much talking about who's going to win the game, and I do feel like the Giants are going to win the game. They, at some point or another, they do have to make a statement that, hey, man, we just won the Super Bowl, and we might have got rid of Mario Manningham, and we might have got rid of Brandon Jacobs to the best team in football, but we're not done yet, you know? And they got to make a run for at least their own division. And it's not going to happen by doing what they've been doing, unless, again, Eli throws for 500 yards against whoever, and then I don't care who you are, that's going to be hard to stop. So I got to go with the Giants there. Cam Newton is still also hitting the struggles that he has, you know, last year, where he's throwing for a million yards, but he's not exactly making it into the end zone as often as he needs to win games. All right, game two, you got the St. Louis Rams at the Chicago Bears, with the Bears favored by 8.5. I don't know. I can't rely on Jay Cutler the way he came out, the way he looked, the way he acted. You know, he tried to bitch out his linemen. I'd be letting a couple guys pass me this next week. 8.5 is a lot of points. I think St. Louis is they've been banging out a little bit. I'm not saying they're the baddest team in the world, but I think they're going to put up a fight. I think it's going to be closer than 8.5, so I got to go with St. Louis on this one. Next game, you got a Buffalo at Cleveland. Buffalo's favored by 3.5 points, and after the performance that they put up last week, I got to go with Buffalo. Cleveland, like I said, they're going to bang out. They're probably going to make it a closer game than you'd expect it to be, because that's what Cleveland's been doing all season. But I got to go with Buffalo for the win. And, yeah, I'm going to go with them. Next up, you got Tampa Bay Bucks at the Dallas Cowboys. Cowboys favored by 7.5 points. I'm not convinced with them. I'm not convinced after what happened against the Seahawks. Just beating the Giants week one. Again, that's a division thing. It's kind of like a whole different ball game. And then what Tampa Bay did on the first half of last game, I think they got to correct that. They got to finish strong. And I see Tampa Bay finishing strong and actually beating the Dallas Cowboys this week. So I got to go with Tampa Bay. Next up, we got Detroit at the Tennessee Titans. Detroit's favored by 3.5 points. I just got finished saying what shit Tennessee looks like. They can't get Chris Johnson going. And I got to go with Detroit. They can put any points up against our defense. They're going to put a lot of points up against Tennessee, tell you that much. Then you got Kansas City at New Orleans. New Orleans looking very flawed, and they're favored by 9.5 points. I don't like the big points against a team who hasn't won a game yet. So I got to go with Kansas City. I know it's only Kansas City, but, I mean, you're going from not winning a game to being favored by 9.5 points. Sorry, man. I got to see that it's going to go close because they've had a hard time finishing anything these days. So I'm going to go with them. Go with Kansas City. Next up, you got my guys over there in
San Francisco.
At Minnesota, we're favored by 7.5 points. And, of course, I'm biased. And, of course, I'm picking
San Francisco.
Yes, sir. And let's be honest, the weakest team we've played thus far. So, you know, I got a feel that we're going to win that game convincingly. So, next game, you got the New York Jets at the Miami Dolphins. Big division rivalry, all of that stuff. The Jets are favored by 3.5 points. Miami put up big rushing efforts by Reggie Bush. Will that continue? Maybe so. They may need more than that to beat the Jets. I'm going to go with the Jets on this one. Next game, we got Jacksonville at Indianapolis. Indianapolis is favored by 2.5 points. I think they'll win by more than that. And I got to go with Indianapolis. Next up, Cincinnati at Washington. Washington's favored by 4.5 points at home. I think RG3 continues to be a huge threat. Cincinnati was demolished by Baltimore week one. They had to fight tooth and nail to beat Cleveland week two. And I think they're going to have big problems with RG3 and squad on week three. So I got to go with Washington. Next up, you got Atlanta at San Diego. San Diego's favored by 3.5 points. I know San Diego put up big points against the Raiders, but they're the Raiders. I'm going to go with Atlanta on this one. Matt Ryan continues to do his goddamn thing. I don't know if he's going to finish this week as top-ranked quarterback. I hope my guy puts up shitloads of numbers. Maybe Matt Ryan throws a pick or two. Who knows? I would just love to see Alex Smith as number one-ranked quarterback in the league. It would blow my mind, even if it's just for a week. That'd be fun. So anyway, but I still got to go with Atlanta on this one, hands down. Next up, we got Philadelphia at Arizona. Philadelphia is favored by 4.5 points away. I got to go with Arizona. They've been playing tough. They just came off of beating the Patriots. If they can put Tom Brady in trouble, they're going to put Mike Vick in a lot of trouble. So I'm going to go with that. Then you got the Pittsburgh Steelers at the Oakland Raiders. Pittsburgh Steelers are favored by 4.5 points. I'm going with the Steelers. Again, you know, the Raiders, they just had quite an exhibition put on them by the Miami Dolphins. Oh, no, wait. Yeah, the Dolphins. What the fuck was I just talking about with with San Diego? Who the hell did San Diego just beat? Jesus. I'm all over the place here. Oh, San Diego just beat the Titans. That's right. Okay. Either way, I still stand by my statement there. San Diego beat up the Titans. So what? Atlanta's different. Go to Atlanta. So skip back to Pittsburgh, Oakland. I'm going with Pittsburgh. Pittsburgh's favored by 4.5 points. I'm still going with them. Houston at Denver. Denver's favored by 0.5 points. This is a tough one. Houston's been a no-joke team. The Peyton Manning factor's got to come through here. This is a who's going to win game. I think Denver's going to win this game, so I'm going with them. Denver at home. Then you got New England at Baltimore. This is, well, you know, the start of the season, people were calling this a let's see who's the truth in the AFC. Who's going to be the top AFC team? It's going to be one of these teams and this and that. Now you're looking at two very flawed teams. Yeah, I mean, I don't know. You know, a team that lost to the Philadelphia Eagles, despite all of the Eagles' turnovers, and a team that lost to the Arizona Cardinals. It's going to be a battle. Definitely going to be a battle. Baltimore favored by 3.5 at home. I'm going to go with Baltimore. I'm going to go with Joe Flacco looking better than he did last week. And that Baltimore defense hopefully, you know, putting some more trouble on Tom Brady. And showing them that this is not the year of the Brady anymore. This is not the Brady era. I think we've possibly passed that a little bit. Not that he's done, not that he's over with, but just not a lock to win. There's a lot of teams that I just don't think are an automatic lock to win that their divisions as they have been in recent years past. And like I said, some of this is how the mighty have fallen, and we will see. Last game up Monday night. You have the Green Bay Packers at the Seattle Seahawks. And Green Bay is favored by 3.5 points. I'm going to go with Green Bay. I'm going to go with Aaron Rodgers putting up some points. You know, I don't think they're a bad team. I think we did what we're going to do. I think we're a badass team. And I see Green Bay beating Seattle. So, yeah, I got Green Bay. So that's all the games. Now, me, Nick, and Stan have done this. Like I said, I have Stan's picks. I'm not just going to randomly read them off. And Nick's picks, I believe, are in my phone, texted to me after I already called into the show, so I have no way to really look at them. Or maybe I do, and I just don't know how to do that. I probably do. But anyway, after the game, I'm going to write it down, and I'll update everybody next week on who is up, who is down. Right now, the current standings is Nick has 15 wins between week 1 and week 2. I have 16 wins between week 1 and week 2, and Stan has 17 wins between week 1 and week 2. Believe it was week 1, Stan came out with 10 wins. Came out with a big 10 wins. I had 9 wins in week 1, and Nick had 7. This past week, Stan had 7 wins. I had, Jesus. I had, what did I have? Jesus, man. Bad with math. I had a math problem. Yeah. So anyway, I had 9. No. I did not have 9 wins. I had 9 wins week 1. I had 6 wins this week. No, 7 wins this week, and Nick had 8 wins this week. So it brought us to 16, 15, and 17. I have it all written down. The totals are definitely right. My math in between, who knows? I'm trying to do this on the fly, and I didn't write that stupid shit down. So anyway, that's the sum of my football talk. So I'm going to take a break. Like I said, I'm also extremely tired and delirious, and I will explain all of that later. I think I'm going to take a break, come back, and talk some wrestling. So, yeah, after that, let me see. All right, let me take you to this. I'll just play it, and then I'll talk about it afterwards. There.
Coming to the stage. Show coming to the stage to challenge Young Z.
Hey yo, I'm battling Young Z, so y'all.
I know who the best is. His girlfriend is my nigga, but her voice is deeper than his. Just a mismatch. I don't know how you got on stage. She must have gave the head and perfect charge down that blade. Just a mismatch, Duke. You whack in the game. You from outsiders, so go back outside of the game. I don't care who you from, where you go, where you live at. My name is Shells, and I live where the real at. You talk like a gangster, walk like a gangster. Deep on the block, go get it all like a gangster. Real nervous, catch me in a black Suburban. Do-rag over waves, don't get clapped on purpose. The crack game played out. I'll knock your hustle, but it don't, you see the punch. Yo, I bet you got your peoples right there, and they booing at me. And this man got his little fingers sticking at me. Cause I'm about to get a deal, and your man is whack. Matter of fact, they got me balanced, somebody on crack. We grown-ass men, you know whack is a sin. Wanna sacrifice a hand and pour the blood on your skin. Rub that shit in for your corny freestyling. You'll start growling, turning the wolf like the howling. You can tie my hands like Silence the Lamb. I still eat a boy your man. I can see you now before you sleep when you kneel. Like, please, Lord, please let me please get a deal. But keep begging, you ain't gonna never win a Grammy. You my son, you gonna come out tomorrow, you Annie. Take off them paraguets, go wear a dress. Shave that hair on your chest, start wearing berets. You girl, we don't hang around with you busters. You smoke pin joints, I roll a pound and two Dutches. Stop the gat clocking, your heart is pat-patting. Take it slow first, you just started back rapping. Your boys put your tape on stop, mine's be revving. Your boys rather listen to Hot 97. Y'all make some noise for Shells. Y'all make some noise for Young Z. Shells. Yo, this battle was off the chain. Unfortunately, Young Z caught the L, and Shells move on to the semifinal round.
Yeah, now, here's the thing, because that just popped into my hair earlier today because I love me some Young Z. And Brick City Cat. Now, I had thought about it earlier because, like I said, I love some Young Z. I miss that Blaze battle shit. I love battles, so the fact that it started to make, like, somewhat of a, not even a mainstream, but actually got, like, a little bit more production behind it and actually, you know, KRS hosting it and, you know, being put up there, like, on a stage and put out on DVDs and shit like that, I thought it was really hot, and I wish someone would do that again and, you know, keep it in a controlled environment and all that and let people snap off. But that was bullshit, man. Shells didn't win that goddamn battle, for starters. And then fucking Shells went to the finals and got destroyed by that the White Cat Idea. And I think, I'm pretty sure Idea had passed away since. But Young Z won that battle hands down. Anybody listen to what I just played and tell me that Young Z didn't win that? I can't imagine how. So, I don't know. That's just me. But, yeah, I would love for somebody to do that again and really put, you know, rap battles into, you know, into the rotation again. Instead of everything. I mean, it's great that, you know, it's an underground form and all that. But I think it's an ill-competitive thing to watch and to listen to and stuff like that. And, you know, you can separate it where it doesn't become like everybody getting shot over everything and, you know, fucking East Coast versus West Coast or any of that bullshit and everybody shooting each other over shit like that, like, you know, Pac and Biggie or any of that. But you could definitely do some shit with it. Rap battles are fucking classic. I mean, this shit's been going on forever. It's always been one of the most entertaining things in the rap business to me. And the only time that, you know, it catches a huge frown on his face is when people start getting killed over lyrics and that type of stuff. But just as a competitive nature, I like to see that shit done live on a regular basis and, you know, put up there. Somebody make a show for, you know, put it on HBO or something where, you know, no holds barred, you can say whatever you want, or even just put them out on DVD. I would enjoy that shit. So if whoever does that listens to this show, by random stretch. Anyway, I watched most of, like, you know, bits and pieces, but I watch most of the IWA East Coast Masters of Pain 2012 joint. Matt Tremont is a fucking beast. There's no maybes about it. He won the tournament in the finals, which is a sick fucking match against Masada in the finals. Crazy shit. The other big thing in that, I mean, and Tremont also got past Danny Havoc earlier, which was a great match. Fucking Masada beat the living shit out of Spider Boudreaux in the first round. Spider Boudreaux sucks bad. Like, really, really bad. Like, anyone who gives that guy a lot of credit for being a good worker is wrong. You're just wrong. Like, I started disliking that dude after the whole thing with him and John Rare and shit. But, like, watching this match, it's like one of those things where, like, if you caught the wrong person in the ring, they would just fucking kill you. Like, for the amount of spots he was botching and the just, like, he was unable to execute anything, like, correctly. You could just see him just fucking up. And you could see Masada getting mad and shit. And, like, he hit him up. But, like, let him be, like, in the ring with New Jack or, like, one of these guys. Like, he'd wind up dead. Like, it's just not good. You should not be doing that. That's not... You're either going to kill yourself or you're going to hurt somebody else really bad. And it's just... I don't see the reasoning behind it. And I also don't see the reasoning behind a bunch of people calling him the next best thing in deathmatch wrestling. I haven't seen a ton of his work. But just seeing, like, a match here and there and it be executed as bad as that one was, and it fucking match was entertaining as shit for the beating fucking Masada put on him, but that doesn't make fucking Spider Boudreaux a fucking credible deathmatch wrestler. Fuck out of here. That's the type of shit that puts a bad name on deathmatch wrestling, where other guys are putting science and fucking, you know, psychology to a fucking deathmatch, and they're trying to work wrestling within the deathmatch, and they're making it something that is more than just fucking people falling on shit and getting hit in the face with stuff. Just making it make sense. That Spider Boudreaux doesn't make sense as a whole. Like, it's just, it's really bad. So, I don't know, that's just my 2 cents on that, which is only worth that, at if that. So, wow, I just realized, like, a few of these things I have to talk about. It's just really not a lot of positive. Pro Wrestling Syndicate just ran their show on fucking Friday, past Friday. And the name of the show was Saved by the Ring Bell. Because they brought in Mr. Belding from Saved by the Bell as more or less their main attraction, you know. Now, I don't know how to say this shit. Fuck it. Let me read you the results from this shit first, and then I'll say whatever. All right. The Powers of Pain, meaning the Barbarian and Warlord, beat Demolition, meaning Axe and Smash, in the opener. You know, they're two up and coming teams, so you know, one day they'll be something. Then you had the Big O beat QT Marshall. Okay. Then you had a singles match. Devin Moore beat the Necro Butcher, which, you know, they probably put on a good match. I mean, they've faced each other quite a few times, and they could definitely go, both of them. So that probably wasn't a bad match. Fatal 4-Way for the PWS Tag Team Championship. Okay. SM2, which is Mark Modis and Mike Matrix, with Brittany Savage, defeated the Fat Pack of DJ Fat Pat and Fala with Ox Baker. The Great Outdoors Men, Grizzly Redwood and Jake Manning, and the Jersey Shore Jocks of Chris D'Andrea and Mike Dennis. I don't know who the majority of those people are,
But a few of them I do. Okay. So, but SM2 won that match. Mark Madison, Mike Matrix with Brittany Savage. Then a number one contenders match for the PWS Tri-State Championship. Starman beat AR Fox, Apollyon, The Dynamic Sensation, Lucifer Darkside, and Rich Swann. Okay. One Warrior Nation beat Timmy I. The PWS Student Battle Royal, Dave D. Dash Struction, Sturch. He eliminated the Prince of Aesthetics, Damian Gibbs. Then you had the PWS Tri-State Championship. Anthony Nese defeated Matt Hardy to retain his championship. So I'm sure that was awesome. This match, something else. Let me see. What happened next? Happened next was 6-man tag team match. Dynamite, Freight Train, and Shockwave the Robot defeated Jobber Dustin, Jobber Justin, and the Goon. Next up was the PWS Championship match, which was Kevin Matthews with Velvet Sky defeating Sammy Callahan, which I'm sure was a good match. Those guys could work, you know. Sammy's fucking awesome. Kevin Matthews isn't a terrible worker or anything. He could work. So, I'm sure that was a great match. And it was all overseen by guest commissioner Dennis Haskins, otherwise known as Mr. Belding. Also, appearances by Lex Luger. All right. So, I don't understand. I just don't understand where in the year 2012 someone could start talking about Mr. Belding and no one says,
"Man, shut the fuck up."
Because that's the first thing that comes to my mind. And I don't know how any adult, especially after my apology last week and all that, you know, it's not a homophobic thing. It's a realistic thing. Listen, if you're a fucking straight adult male, full-grown fucking adult, and you're still marking out for members of the fucking Saved by the Bell cast for being part of the Saved by the Bell cast, then you're a homo. That's the only way I could say it. And there's nothing against people being gay. You could be gay. I didn't even say gay. Just a homo. Dude, it's not cool. There's no way that shit is cool to anybody. That shit isn't cool to the people who used to be on the show. They found other shit to do that fucking they would love to be known for, more so than Saved by the Bell. This fucking guy has a head like a fucking engine block, like a fucking flesh engine block. You wouldn't even fucking recognize this fucking guy from the show from the pictures I saw. He's got like a fucking Easter ham for a head. It's fucking huge. Like a fucking, Jesus Christ. His fucking head is enormous. I don't know if this fucking guy's, I don't know what the fuck he's been doing, but it ain't good. Because I haven't seen him in shit other than fucking Saved by the Bell in a fucking pro wrestling syndicate ring. Jesus Christ. Oh, fuck. I can't take it. So anyway, that was that. Take it for what it is. And now, of course, because Mr. Belding hasn't been seen since the fucking 90s, now they made fucking TMZ and they're all proud of themselves. Because, oh my God, they put us on. Yeah, because they're like, "Hey, have you ever seen this fucking guy? That's Mr. Belding. Oh my God, he's still alive." Like, that doesn't make your company good. You're just fucking weird. You're fucking weird for booking people like that. Who the fuck does that? I guess fucking Eric Tapout does that. Fantastic work. Fantastic work. Oh, Jesus. That's something else. All right. What else do I got? Chikara ran their King of Trios 2012 joint. I was going to have Eric call in and talk about it. He actually called in earlier just to listen and was like on hold, but that lasted like all of 10 minutes. Like, Eric is not able to keep connection with his phone for very long at all. So I don't know what happened there. He said it was a great show. He went to all 3 days. I've heard a lot of people that said a lot of good things about it. I'm never the fucking biggest supporter of Chikara. But hey, man, that is fucking 3 days worth of wrestling, like 30-something matches, and I really didn't hear a lot of negative about it at all on the internet. And fuck, man, like, that's a lot of wrestling to put on. Like, those are a lot of guys to book. It's a lot of people to put in that ring and hope for everything to go well. They have a pretty good record of, for the most part, getting everybody to show up. I think they were, like, short a team or so, and then they quickly substituted and had no fucking, like, no bump in the road or no, like, oh, my God, this sucks now. Like, no, like, I heard nothing but positive stuff from the fans of Chikara. Again, I'm not a big fan of Chikara, but for all the people who are fans of Chikara, they fucking love this shit. This was 3 days of fucking Chikara fucking heaven for these people, and fucking, by all means, awesome. It was won by Ultraman is Black, Frightmare, and Hollow Wicked, I think. And, I mean, those three guys are all talented wrestlers. I like all three of those guys, honestly. So, yeah, I also heard there was this is where they lose me, though. There was some form of duck-duck-goose going on in one of the matches, and apparently that was a really good thing to some people. I don't know, listen, again, I'm not going to shit on them, because everybody who likes Chikara loved this show. So they completely satisfied the people who they sell their product to. So by all means, and again, hopefully, yeah, you know, maybe in the near future, I actually acquired the tournament. And I will hopefully watch it soon. And I'm not sure if I could get through the whole thing, but I'll try. I'll do what I can. And then, I'll get my review on my honest review on it. And, maybe Eric will pop on in the future and, you know, give his overall review or rebuttal to whatever douchebag stuff I say. And, you know, we'll see how that goes. I really don't have, like, deep-rooted thoughts on that. Just, you know, that I heard it went really well. And, 3-day tournament. Why not? Okay. Let me see. What else do I have? A few things, I think. All right. This is what I'm going to do. I'm going to take a quick break with this. This is one of my favorite Beanie Siegel freestyles ever. And then I'm going to go over to WWE stuff. I'm going to take another break. And I'm going to come back with my story for y'all. All right? Check this out. In case y'all didn't hear this, this is that shit. 97.
Beanie Mac. Rockefeller, y'all. Check. Beanie Mac. Rockefeller, y'all. Check. Check. Yo. Beanie Mac. Rockefeller, y'all. Rockefeller, y'all. Rockefeller, y'all. Rockefeller, y'all. Rockefeller, y'all. Check, check. Hey, yo, 2 decades and 3 years, I'm still in order. I done stabbed, fit, killed, bricks, drowned, drops of water. $80 million and shit it, $4 million a quarter. Stuck, mother, sisters, aunts, nieces, and daughters. Fuck Taco Bell, I run south for the border. Cop a whole pie and you working with a quarter. Stay cased up like my man Ron Slaughter. Sleep in crack spots. On off that water, y'all scrape up for weed money and grub. Me and my men roll in the bin for a dub. On our way to the club, smoking weed out the jug. While most stay in court trying to plead with the judge. What? Fitz and Rich, they glit it up. Dime piece, sip it up until I spit it up. I fuck bitches who bust checks to flap my neck. Give me rough sex, up wet, butt sex. Meds iron, like I'm importing that shit. I ain't trying to be cased up going to court for that shit. I just wanna breeze through, sporting that shit. Laughing at no point breeze, niggas, snorting that shit. Y'all niggas will never finish that shit.
shit y'all be starting. Never can back up that shit y'all be talking. I make you famous, I put your face on milk cartons. Beanie Mac, smoother than Jerome on Martins. I keep the silence on the 380 Larkin. It quiets the bus, but can't do shit about the sparking. That's why I get my bodies right before darkin'. Your dogs ain't biting shit, just doing a lot of barking. Your squad leaking, fronting like y'all eating. Rent a little car and get dressed on the weekend. That's that Joe shit. You don't know me. Why you speaking? Cause I shut down blocks and clock like Puerto Rican. Be Mac rap gorilla. I'm out for the thriller. Face it, ain't no replacement for this.
Yeah, that's that shit. That was, like I said, back from 97. And one of the first times I heard Siegel. And, you know, always liked that dude. So, listen, I didn't watch the WWE pay-per-view over on Sunday because I was watching my Niner game, and that's so much more important to me. So, anyway, but what happened on Monday was, I heard everything that happened on the pay-per-view, and more or less, like, Cena's getting a lot of credit for working really hard. He did a, you know, a suicide dive. So now it's supposed to make up for everything. The finish was actually like a German suplex, I think from the off the ropes or some shit, where both of their shoulders were pinned on the mat. So he thought he won, but then they overturned it and Punk kept the title. So that's what they went with there. So that was like the big thing or whatever. So then what happened on Monday, which, man, I watched, I skimmed it. I'll tell you my favorite part later because that's really the only part I actually gave a fuck about. I had a good time with. And hopefully you guys will too, if you didn't already. So anyway, they start the whole show with, you know, Punk and Heyman talking shit and the ref and the Cena and blah, 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 blah. All right. And JBL has also been substituting for Jerry Lawler. So there you go there. Rey Mysterio and Sin Cara went up against Primo and Epico. And Rey and Sin Cara won. So, yeah, that's kind of what happened there. Eve went up against Beth Phoenix. And Eve won the match. She's going, you know, I think, yeah, Eve ended up winning the title on Sunday. And she did some old heel shit. You know, she was playing, like, the worst acting fucking supposed face. But you can tell that she wanted to be a heel. Like, it was all ridiculous the whole time. She is, like, honestly, like, a good-looking chick or whatever. But she's a horrible fucking actor, and I don't think she's that good of a wrestler at all either. I just think she's a fucking horrendous actor. Every time they give her some kind of angle to execute, she just looks fucking stupid. Every time. So that's just, you know. And she flaunted her title at Layla, blah, 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 blah. So then, Antonio Cesaro joined the commentary, da-da-da. Brodus Clay went up against Heath Slater. Brodus Clay went over with that lazy-ass splash. Then they started out, which was my favorite point of the night. They started out, The Miz walked down to the ring, flaunted his stature is the most must-see WWE superstar. His guest, which, like, I guess he has his own show now type thing. And he had his guest tonight was GM of SmackDown, Booker T. And he talked a bunch of shit to Booker. And Booker's like, you know, since you like to talk, and you know, he said, you know, asking Booker, why'd you put three other guys against me last night? That's bullshit, da-da-da-da-da. Then Booker grabbed the mic and said, oh, since you like to talk, you know, you should have a new guest for the show. And it'll be someone who thrives on beating multiple opponents up at one time. And to preface all this, he had all these couches in the ring. Okay? And Ryback's music hits. And he comes down to the ring, and he just bugs the fuck out in the ring and just starts throwing couches out of the fucking ring, like launching fucking couches.
And I don't know about y'all, but this is the first fucking thing I thought, and I can't stop thinking about it. Absolutely. Tell me that shit doesn't line up perfectly. That should be his new entrance music. So anyway, he could add feed me in there somewhere, like, you know, fuck your couch, feed me. You know what I mean? Because they might not be able to drop, you know, the N-bomb on the PGTV. So maybe they could throw feed me in there as like an edit on the fuck your couch. But no, fuck your couch wouldn't work either. Forget it, all right? We'll just use it for comedy. Santino went up against Dolph Ziggler for no reason. And then, obviously, Dolph Ziggler won. And they're doing this thing continually where, you know, Santino's Cobra only works with the sock on it. So they took the sock. He lost. Then Wade Barrett went up against Justin Gabriel. Then Wade Barrett won. Yeah. You had Daniel Bryan and Kane versus Kofi and R-Truth. And this went to another thing where Daniel Bryan and Kane went over, kept their WWE Tag Team Championships. I think this is one of the smartest things they've actually done with the WWE Tag Team Championships. I don't know why I had to say that whole fucking thing. I could have just said tag straps, but whatever. I think this is the smartest thing they've done with the tag belts for a while because it makes sense. It's not just like, oh, okay, yeah, we just got those guys have belts, and then they're fighting those guys, and they don't have belts, and, like, no one cares about anybody, but, you know, whatever. No, it's that oddball tag team, that, you know, that rock and sock connection, that, you know, one of those type of teams, and it works. You know, their comedy back and forth and their, you know, lack of connection while also having, honestly, an awesome connection, you know, promo-wise and stuff, it works out really well. And I think it comes off great on camera. I think their skits have been some of the highlights of actually what Raw has been, because a lot of times it's completely a lackluster show, and some of the segments they've done with D-Bry and fucking Kane have actually been fucking entertaining as hell. And could be really good stuff. You know, they can keep that going for a while, but they need to create a tag team division. They still need to do that. They can't just abandon it because, well, okay, now we're doing this. No, they still need to do something with that division. They need to make credible tag teams in there. They can have all the credible tag teams they want, go in there, and then, you know, through wit and through, you know, creative finishes and creative match storylines, still have Daniel Bryan and Kane hold on to that shit for like 6 months straight up, but have good tag teams fight them. Don't have them fucking fight Kofi and Truth. And those guys are fine, but don't have them fight Kofi and Truth, Epico and Primo, fucking the primetime players, and fucking Rey and Sin Cara, and that's it for the next fucking couple months, because I'm telling you, it's going to die fast, and it's not because the gimmick isn't working, it's because there's no tag team division. Those teams are the only thing that's in the tag team division. If the Usos still work there, well, then there's your one other tag team, because I fucking momentarily forgot about them. But there's no other fucking tag teams. You don't have to just randomly match up tandem tag teams, but let's fucking bring up tag teams. Let's focus on it a little bit. Come on. Let's do fucking something. You know? I don't know. Maybe it's me. Then they had Randy Orton versus Tensai. Tensai was pretty much dominating and all that. Randy Orton did one of those fucking...
out of nowhere with an RKO. Like, oh, fuck you, Randy Orton. I can't stand that stupid shit. Just like, that move is so devastating, it takes anybody out no matter what happens. Like, get the fuck out of my face with that stupid shit. So anyway, then you got Damien Sandow versus Zack Ryder. Damien Sandow wins, and rightfully so, because Zack Ryder sucks, basically. His gimmick sucks. I don't think anything he does in the ring is any good. Did I mention his gimmick sucks? So, I don't want to see him on TV. Like, they kept him off TV for all this time, then they randomly had him win a fucking battle royal on the fucking pre-show of the pay-per-view to fight Sandow, then lose to Sandow, then fucking fight him again on Monday. Like, I don't, what the fuck is going on here? So, then they had Cena and Sheamus versus CM Punk and Alberto Del Rio, and I don't give a fuck. Next topic. No, John Cena and Sheamus won. I really don't give a shit. Like, Sheamus is very, very dull as a champion at this point. He wins with that stupid kick every fucking match. It's just, it's overplayed. It's another one of these things. There's not enough people for him to go up against. He's been fighting Alberto Del Rio since, like, fucking maybe a month or two after fucking last WrestleMania. Like, come on, man. Like, it's fucking done. It's over. No one gives a fuck. And then John Cena and CM Punk are back sparked up, so now it's going to be, build towards that, build towards that. Build towards a feud that already popped off, happened, capped off, and then they're doing it again. And that's fine if they're doing it again. You know, CM Punk's a heel now and all that. But fucking why do you have to build with a tag team match, and then a this match, and then a that match? Just go full force again. You guys have history. You have your build. You have your story. You have all that. Use your storytelling within your new fucking heel character and your fucking Paul Heyman. And then, bring Brock Lesnar back and involve him. Like, hey, remember I kicked your fucking ass all over the place? Oh, yeah, well, maybe you're going to have to go through me again before you get to Cena. Or CM Punk, I should say. Or something like that. Do fucking something other than, all right, we're putting the two champions and the two other guys that were fighting the champions all the time in the ring now, and then we're just going to, then eventually we'll split them up and then we'll have the same match again. Like, come on, dude. Who the fuck are you talking to, retards? Okay, I don't understand this shit. That's why I'm not interested in it. I can't get it. I can't get online with it. All right. I think that's all the wrestling talk I have. Oh, shit. No, it's not. Jesus Christ, I almost forgot about fucking Jesus. Never forget about Jesus. CZW is having a redemption this Saturday in fucking Delaware. With DJs. At DJ's house. At the DJ's house. Oh, barbecue. So let me go from bottom to top on this. They have Latin Dragon against Mr. Tofiga in a This Doesn't Make Sense match. Then they have, let me not call it that because the majority of this card doesn't make sense. So, Latin Dragon versus Mr. Tofiga in, big guy versus little guy match. Yeah, we'll go with that. Then you have a tag team match of Ohio's for Killers in Dave and Jake Crist up against Greg Excellent and Shane Strickland. Again, I didn't want to start out the first match saying it didn't make any fucking sense, because then what do I say about the second match? Right. Then you have Rich Swann versus Dustin Reyes in a Seeking Redemption match. I could swear when Dustin Reyes came back from his leg injury, they had him cut a promo that made him look out to be a heel. That everybody better watch out, and I'm going to make sure everyone pays and feels the pain that I felt for
all this time healing with my injury and this and that. And I could swear Rich Swann just fucking turned heel. And now we're... Wait, what? Again. I just don't understand the booking. I mean, if maybe someone could, like, you know... Sometimes, like, they give you, like, the full story. Like, you click on, like, the match. You're like, oh, here's the full story. And then you click on it and be like, yeah, you still didn't make sense of that shit at all. Thanks, though. But, so that's just weird shit. And, like, yeah. I don't know. Just book matches, I guess, and fuck if it makes sense. Just, you know, make all those matches really good. And then... Fuck it, just be like, oh, what a good match is. Be like, yeah, okay, well, no, the fucking don't worry about what it means. Okay, fine. Because the storylines, you know, some things are just not for some people. You'd be like, you know, I'm really good at basketball. Be like, yeah, but can you play baseball? But yeah, baseball's not my thing. You know, same thing. You're like, oh, we put on really good matches, but yeah, storylines just aren't my thing. I'm just not really good at them at all. Devin Moore versus Alex Colon. Well, I mean, they do seem to be building this, so maybe they're building, like, a Nation of Intoxication versus Four Loko for, like, the Cage of Death thing or something like that, because they sure as fuck need to start building something. But it's weird because, again, you know, Alex Colon fought Ruckus, and that was supposed to be like, yeah, Ruckus is going to get answers for why he left the group and turned his back on the Blackout, and then, like, Devin Moore interfered, and it was just like, well, I guess... Fuck that. All right. Now it's all about Devin and Alex. Like, just, like, you guys are, like, kind of like DJ cutting a promo when he's talking and then his eyes just shoot off in random directions for no reason. Like, when he just randomly looks at the ceiling and there's nothing going on up there. Or he, like, his eyes kind of dart towards the entrance and you're like, oh, shit, is someone running out? Like, nah, DJ just does that. You know, it's one of those things. Like, you think it's going one way. And it's not a swerve. It's just like a fucking, like, ADD or something. It's like fucking you just pays attention to some other shit instead. Like, oh, okay. So back to fucking the Blackout. Fuck them. Yeah, that's right. I forgot about you saying fuck them. You brought it back up, so I thought we were good now. And then no, fuck them again. Oh, okay, yeah, fuck them. All right, fine, whatever. So, okay. Then you got the Nation of Intoxication taking on Rory Mondo and Ron Mathis. Yeah, Ron Mathis. He had he did pretty well, I think, in that that show that I just watched, that Masters of Pain thing. Yeah, I think he did pretty well on that. And I think Nation of Intoxication are faces, and so's Rory. But this is Light Tube Madness, so it's okay. Why not? Then you got the CZW World Championship. Fans bring the weapons. Masada versus the world famous Joe Gacy. Oh, fuck. Then you have... And we don't give a fuck how high we stack the deck because Cage of Death in Jersey will surely stand a chance after this. A rematch from Tangle Web, Squared Circle of Fear match, which, you know, includes, like, no rope barbed wire, fucking no canvas barbed wire on the fucking wood, fucking light tubes, fans bring the fucking death, whatever the fuck, on top of whatever the fuck, super triple death match. DJ High versus Tremont. Awesome, right? Okay. How do you expect to follow what you're doing with Cage of Death? Let me preface this with saying I have not seen that Tangled Web show, but I did watch the Wired episode, which pretty much gave me all the key points of that. Key points being DJ took almost fucking no abuse, and Tremont fucking killed himself. So DJ got put over like a fucking monster because he got to throw Tremont through everything on the fucking planet. Tremont fucking took ridiculous, dangerous fucking spot after dangerous spot. Looked like a fucking corpse after the match. and DJ had like pinkish sweat coming from his head. Wasn't banged up looking at all. Cutting a promo after the match like he barely was in a fucking match, other than sweating profusely, which he pretty much does walking to the ring anyway. So he looked barely fucking scathed, and Tremont looked like someone hit him with a fucking bus and then backed up over him and fucking shot him on the way back. Like, holy fucking shit, dude. And like, how the fuck do you follow that with this? Now, the only way I think that you can follow it with this is the only way that this would make sense and make anybody like me who's, you know, paid a shitload towards your company happy for maybe a tenth of a fucking second and maybe put something in the right direction is DJ needs to die in this fucking Delaware show. And I don't mean that literally, like fucking course. I'm not being a dick. I'm just saying DJ needs to take more abuse than he's ever taken in his entire career, wrapped into this one fucking match, and it needs to be the match that takes him off of the fucking card. He needs to be an owner and only an owner. He should probably not show his face for another 2 or 3 months and then come back as just a fucking owner. Not in the ring anymore. Let Tremont be the guy that took you the fuck out, push your fucking talent, and allow him to be your main event deathmatch guy. Because clearly, he's put his fucking body on the line to make you look fucking good on several occasions, and I'm sure this Saturday will be no fucking different. So, that's just my fucking opinion, but for fucking what do I know, DJ? You know, clearly just fucking barely, you know, sweating your fucking ass off and probably have the, I wouldn't doubt that the blood on your fucking head came off of Matt Tremont. That's how fucking sad that shit looked when Tremont looked fucking ripped up from head to fucking toe and took fucking crazy bumps on all sorts of 2x4s and barbed wire and fucking this and that. And just got the shit knocked out of him in that match for the sake of what? You looking like what? Who else would book you like that? Who else in the entire fucking wrestling universe that you didn't do some kind of extra favor for would seriously say, main event, I'm putting fucking Matt Tremont, that guy, that fucking, yeah, he's up and coming, he's badass. I'm putting him up against DJ Hyde, and I'm putting DJ over fucking pretty fucking clean, and I'm barely going to have DJ fucking take abuse. Just Matt's just going to die for DJ. And then fucking DJ's going to cut some dick promo afterwards. Yeah, that's how I'll fucking book him. Find me that promoter. Please find me that fucking promoter, because I'll promise you I'll never fucking buy one of his DVDs. Just like people shouldn't buy your DVDs if you continue to book yourself on the top of your card like this and not do a fucking thing. You remember when Zandig own the fucking company? I know this keeps coming up. It's weird because you bought the fucking company from Zandig. Oh, I wonder why that is. Because maybe buying those three letters would automatically buy you a fan base. Because if you opened your own federation, no matter what the talent was, they would still look at you like DJ. Not like they're continuing to support CZW. They'd still look at you like DJ. And then if you just put yourself on the top of the card, they'd be like, well, fuck that shit. But instead, it's them continuing to support CZW, but then you're going to do your own thing with it, which is, you know, understandable. You own the company. You have the full option, and it's on you. Dude, it's your shit. So, but why would you spend whatever you spent on those three letters, just those three letters, that you could have spent on launching your own show? Like, all that money was could have sat right back in your pocket. You still would have put whatever you had to put into the company, but those three letters wouldn't have had to be bought if you could have ran a company on your own. And again, why did John Zandig never do what you're doing? Why, if he was on the main event, he would take just as much, if not more, punishment than the guy he went up against? Why would he main event and fucking have fucking shit hanging out of his arm and busted ribs and all that shit because he fucking went balls out against fucking Lobo in that joint? Why would he do that? Why would, you know, he go main event with some shit, but he would be fucking recognized for the amount of abuse he fucking took. And then people go, okay, Zandig's not, you know, he's not just putting himself over. He's not that type of guy. He's clearly a crazy fuck. And, like, he wouldn't, and you would get that, like, he wouldn't do anything that he wouldn't, or he wouldn't ask his locker room anything that he wouldn't do himself. Like, you would get those type of statements out of guys in the back. I don't understand what your point is, what your goal is, what you're actually shooting for doing the things that you've done with your role in the company. To me, it just looks like a fucking douche ego trip. And dude, you're just losing fucking fans. I can't imagine that you think any of that's a good idea, that you need to be the guy in that role to fucking put yourself over against the fucking guys who are actually over with the fans. It's not a heel move. It's really not. There's a difference. I'm not going to start with the X-Pac heat and any of that stupid fucking terminology, but I'm telling you, there's a difference between a really good heel and what you do. There really is. That's why you're not booked as a top heel in any of these companies. You've worked with fucking Gabe for how fucking long? How many times has he said, you know what? We could use a top heel, DJ. No. He said, hey, DJ, we could use the building you work in. Hey, we could use Samurai Del Sol and then have him fucking come into the same building that you're working in and you don't get to use him now. Oh, we can use Sammy. Oh, Sammy can't work your show because he's working ours now. Oh, we can use Fox. Fox can't work your show now because actually he's going to be over here working my show. Oh, well, DJ, how come you're not on that card? How come not even like top heel like I would expect you to be because that's how you push yourself. Like, why are you not even on the undercard? Huh. Maybe people don't see the same value in yourself that you see in yourself. Just a thought. Again, I'm just some dumb wrestling mark. I just watch shows. So I don't have any pull say in the company. I'm just some dude. So, you know, I mean, take it as just random criticism. You know, I've supported because, I love indie wrestling and I will continue to do so. However, you know, just a thought, just floating it out there and, you know, take it for what it's worth. All right, I've talked enough wrestling for tonight. I am going to take a break. Oh, I said that like fucking Yogi Bear. Then I'm going to come back and after this pretty long break, this song's pretty long. Another 90s joint. Yeah, taking it back a little bit tonight. And then I'm going to come back and I'm going to tell you guys a story about, you know, some real shit. All right, check it.
Scrape y'all motherfucking. It's my word. When you see us flashing and shining and building and adding on, them niggas just watch. Hear me? Only ones who we got respect for is the niggas that we say peace to. Hear me? Pay attention. Put your shoes on. Yo, my team be belly aching, hungry niggas on the swarm again. Piranha nigga, bite dick. Yo, son, it's on again. What up? He made a move, try to assist it. Listen, kid, yo, you was born to be a pawn, but I'm a bishop. Back to the novel, yo, son, it's logical. How you figure, God, what? Float on the track, flip the obstacle. Now my proposal rips the globe. From California to courts, it's over. God told, taste the soulful. Remember, baggy jeans, timber, lands in November. Shorty called me Santa in December. But guess what? My Wally's got messed up, autograph, pressed up, what? Blessed enough to blow your ass up. We space that, land on lake that. Mazola rapper, get your sense back. Represent the gentlemen who bent that. Flash medallions like Italians, La Costa La Nostra. We moving through your hood, poster flexing. Lexi Diamonds, close the settlement to keep the bush a gumbo. Like that badass bitch, is that president's add on. The billboard snort, check it now. You get the gold dick award, it's like jail. And it's the sixth floor, test me. Floating in the SC. Now let's see, half of y'all niggas built your vibe from my stress street. Faggots, homos, yo, my flavor liver than the dobo. Say militant, kid, twist it like bolo. You fucking idiot, playing with my clan, but you be fearing it, fake one. I'm guaranteed to make you take one. Please, y'all niggas, money getting low. Because you come back, go set up shop and get the fat glow. Tired of y'all, mostly inspired by y'all. So what's the deal now? Link up with us or put your shield down. Faggot, faggot.
You battle for cream, yo. You want a pound crab? Nah, let his hand swing. All the prince punch a hole in his palm with these pointy ass rings. No more said, knew your chump ass was dead when I saw the 4-4 reflecting off your shiny forehead. It's Wu-Tang, nigga, ain't nothing changed, nigga. Still shame on a nigga who try to run game. Jimbojin and perversion, fucking bitches are Persian rugs, watching niggas like the Trojan, it's the surgeon. Slugs for pals from Bobby Till 12 gave on page, gonna be chronicle weeds. Hell up in Gotham, take heed and protect your seeds. You fall like autumn leaves. You lack tranquility in your rap utility to fuck with the abilities. Raised like a spurs up to the ovary. Microphone post tone like a rotary phone. Ancient poems of poetry. Whole songs, explosive head bullets. Black hooded, Timberland footed ninjas. With full metal jacket clips and know how to put it in ya. Surrender your goods and your merchandise for no purchase price. Most certainly a heist for your ISIS curtains and vice. Come quietly, Wu-Tang Clan, who's society? Because of variety, so maintain your high anxiety and read it to the fiery diary. Yari, 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 yari. I need 18 points for my next joint. This high anointed king to make a deal. I'd be the one to appoint. Steve Ripkin must have been sniffing. They cast something so dope. They left Monica Lynch pussy tripping. Pussy struck hundreds of bitches and spent millions of dollars and built with thousands of scholars. My life saga from the hill to the harbor. Legal case rally in Nicaragua. Gave birth to MCs. These are big robbers. We drove expensive whips into worldwide trips. And my dick's been sucked by the finest lips. Fancy delicatessens and the world's best refreshment. But none of the above compares to the 120 lessons. Or my queen and my seed in the home that I rest in. Into my zone, get blown in 99 sections.
Crime has no limitation. This time there's no hesitation. Collecting minds at the door. You want it, niggas, it's yours. The flavors raw, what the fuck you think I'm flowing for? It's rhyme and reason, bite the bullet. Niggas, it's foul and it's duck season. We at ours till we even, motherfucker. Badasses, high time, lower classes. Taste mine, straight shots and dirty glasses. Bring it to them, room service. Under pressure and mad nervous. Waving guns at the clergy. Decaying, we ain't worried. Keep them sick, niggas, 7:30. Picture this, watch the birdie. These bastards is oil and dirt. With sharp hems that be stabbing you. Pins and needles, needles and pins. Enough said, dick in your mouth like tempest bled. As I racetrack with thoroughbreds, ducking the fence.
Yo, my ice look fly up on the keyboard, son. Niggas ran up on me, Lord. Praising what we do by the Lord. That's right, exile a fake. Hit them niggas like weight. Feed them food, let the fake evaporate. Reconstruction, that's the whole science on my production. Y'all niggas guess who's stuck, son. Left his nuts, son. Switch, finger itch, staring at you like a bitch. Maybe y'all niggas snitch. Use a loner, Adidas shell top. Will I sip a Corona? Read the red report, thin boner. Buy you some jewels, here's some food. Not necessarily mean to be rude, boo. Check out the antelope, we in the mushrooms. Chase the Heineken, the custom. Baggy jeans, thick ropes, guard. Slide through customs, chill. Y'all niggas know what time it is. James Bond beamers behind me on Bacardi Lyman. Check out the pitch like Nolan Ryan. He caught a slug for lying. Yeah, you was lying. Where the cash crying? Militia rolling in position. Casablanca, Cuban Link, Christian. Lex Vitale back whistling. Whistling. Fake fuck, fake fuck, fake fuck, fake fuck, fake fuck, fake fuck.
All right. Now I'm back. Now, all right. Now I'm going to enlighten you guys why I'm exhausted, semi-delirious tonight. And, last night, too, also, we had to postpone Two Moms, One Show because I had to go to bed quite early, you know. I had to at least try to wrap my shit up early. Couldn't be, trying to, produce the show over there, not like I do tremendous shit, but, even to be up and be listening and, just hit, a song here and there when they need it or whatever. I couldn't really be doing that at 12:00 because, I had to try to tone my shit down and go to bed. So, but my reason being is, and by the way, that show will go on Friday. Nina will be doing that show. Hopefully, Natalie, Tink will be able to do it. If not, we'll figure out a way to do it. Be entertaining one way or another. And, then again, they'll, definitely be back on together next Tuesday, win, lose, or draw. Hopefully it could do one Friday. But again, like I said, the show will be on either way. So, anyway, for those who don't know and, and people who know me know, I work for an animal shelter. I'm not going to shout out the name of my stuff because, again, I don't like to tie my job to
you know, my my leisure. But I will say, okay, I work for an animal shelter. I've been there for 11 years. I take care of cats, which shouldn't come as a shock to any one of you. And, you know, not to make myself look any better than anything, but I am really good at what I do. I am better at handling cats, whether they're feral, you know, friendly, wild, semi-wild, whatever the case is, I'm very, very good at handling cats. So, and I'm known for that around people. I mean, I trim cats' nails of people who own the cats. Like, the owners bring me their cats. I'm like, yeah, trim this cat's nails. I can't do it. I do it in like 30 seconds. They're amazed, you know? I mean, stuff like that. And again, like, you know, I've taken cats that were wild, like feral, and turned them nice and got them homes and like got pictures with them cuddling with children. And I mean, it's my passion. It's actually, you know, what I do. I love doing it. I'm all about cats. So, all right. So I'm able to handle cats. And I normally, you know, I take care of cats. I take care of about 50 cats every day, 6 days a week. And it's, you know, in a shelter, I have, you know, my group of cats, and I overlook a lot of the other stuff that goes on cat-wise in the whole shelter, which is a total of about 150 cats. So, anyway, but that's what I do on 6 days a week. Here and there, a couple times, you know, in my 11 years, I have been asked to go out to help the animal control officers in like hoarding situations and that type of thing, like to help more or less wrangle cats, to go and round up a bunch of cats. Well, this had just came up. I was told about it last week that, hey, they, you know, they may need you to go help out in Pennsylvania, in Philly. A woman put 23 cats in her will towards, you know, for us, you know, and that's like part of like some stuff that we do over there. Like, they have a program where like you can put cats in their will and they'll be taken care of, and that type of thing. So, and it's semi-separate from like what the normal shelter day in day out does, but it's, you know, a program within, you know, I don't want to say company or the organization. All right. So this woman had put 23 cats in her will, and she's like 80 something years old. I don't really know the woman's exact age. And apparently she's going into hospice next week. So, you know what that means. So it comes down to who's going to be today. First I was told, oh, you're going to leave at 8 o'clock in the morning from your house. Then it was like, ah, 7:15. Like, dude, I'm not good in the morning, man. So I get picked up at my house 7:15 this morning. Normally, fuck, I leave home at 8:30 to get to work at 9. So now I leave at 7:15 or whatever the fuck and get to work 7:30, punch in, more or less leave shortly after for Philly. Now, where we head is, for anybody who knows, because I don't really know the area either, but it's close to the Sugar House Casino, for anybody who, you know, knows Philly and stuff like that, to know where that is. And they're row homes, but like this, you know, it's like one of fucking brownstone joints, like fucking 3 stories, like this shit. Honestly, like, if you would go and buy one of those joints, that shit would easily be between a half and a mil. Like, between a half a mil and a mil. Because you're talking 3 stories, basement. I mean, it was just this one woman living there. And I mean, this is the type of shit you're talking about. So now, we go there. This is the sight you see. This is the life that I mean, this is something that you have to stomach, you have to take in. And you show up there, these 23 cats, right? And you walk up to the porch, and now she's sitting on the porch. She's got a portable oxygen tank, and she's sitting on the porch. The first thing she says is, hi, you know, this and that. She said two of them are dead. They died either last night or the night before. She's like, so can you also remove those from me too? You know, to do it on what it's like, yeah, of course, no problem. Because he's more or less, you know, running the operation. I'm just there for the trip to help and everything. So it's like, all right. And she's like, you know, this is just, it's really upsetting to me. I'm just going to sit in my car. So she's sitting with her portable oxygen tank in the car for like 2 hours while we try to catch these 23 cats. And mind you, they're pretty much feral. They're, and for those who don't know what feral is, these are pretty much wild cats, like cats that you can't handle. You can't just like go to. She, and this is the thing is, like I said, this joint, this row home must go for that top-notch amount of money. Crazy shit. When you walk through this house and just know that, yo, first floor, second floor, third floor, this is one person living in this that can't really even make it up and down these stairs too often. And her original intent was good. That's where it's really hard to figure out where to land on it, because she took in these cats as just outside strays. Like, these were just cats running around. Like, you see in any city, you just see cats running around the street. She got them. She got them in her house. She brought them to the vet. She got them fixed so they wouldn't multiply or anything like that. And her initial intent must have been good. Must have been. Because she got them fixed. She had somewhat of a right mind about her. Well, this house was covered, like, wall to wall in shit. Three stories of shit on the floor. The smell in the house was thick. Like, the urine, it was brutal. And these cats, you walk in there, and these cats are running for their life. And this is it. This is... I mean, it's crazy, crazy shit, dude. Like, we ran up and down these stairs more times today than she probably has in this past year. You know, this woman's going into hospice next week. She's hooked up to oxygen. This house is so fucked up. You start to wonder, too, like, if she didn't live in these conditions, how much longer would this woman be living? It's disturbing stuff, man. And, you know, we ended up catching all the cats, every single cat. Like I said, the two she said were dead were surely dead. And again, just laying on the floor, you know, amongst everything else that was going on in that house. There was really only two rooms cluttered. There was the kitchen and her bedroom, which was on the second floor. The third floor was pretty much untouched. You could tell that she wasn't able to travel up there. There wasn't a lot of furniture up there. There wasn't a lot of stuff up there. You can tell, like, the cats have been in every inch of that house at one point or another. But I guess at some point she kind of blocked off certain rooms because she knew she wouldn't be able to get there that often or something. But like I said, three fucking stories, all her. And like, the kitchen was crazy cluttered. You couldn't even imagine how someone would eat in that kitchen, how someone would live it. There was no way to cook. The shit was so filthy. And then, like, her room was fucked up. But like, it was unreal. I mean, it just, the sight, the thought, any of this stuff is just, it's amazing to know that, you know, someone had the money to live in somewhere like this, had somewhat of a mentality of trying to do something good for animals, and then turned around and turned to this type of life where they just didn't get it anymore. And like, still had the wherewithal
to call a place like us to be like, yo, yeah, this is it. You know what I mean? And like, yeah, I don't want to see it happen, but I, you know, I, it's got to go down. It just, it's fucking crazy. It's insane, man. And then, you know, and me, I mean, I'm a cat lover, so I mean, it's just really rough on me on that side, especially because now I'm chasing these cats, and I mean, there's cats that were older, and like I, you know, I would chase the cat, like I opened the closet, and you'd see like just five cats just fly out of the closet. So you go one way and try to get the one, then, you know, one will fly back in the closet, and then the one will go back the other way. And like, they're kind of just like back and forth. When you could do this type of thing, you really have to keep checking the same spot that you've checked over and over and over until you eventually get everybody, because they're using their most known hiding spots. Well, you know, some of these cats are older and they were just left to do whatever they wanted to do. So when it came down to it, like you chase a cat this way, you chase a cat that way. And this old cat, man, just like one of them just, he ran back and forth one or two times and just laid on his side like he was going to die. And I just, you know, I just fucking gently picked him up like, damn, man, and, you know, put him in the carrier and everything. But it's really sad to deal with, you know. And I don't even know if I'm trying to send a message with this or anything, because it's really hard, because I know at one point in this woman's life, she was probably a phenomenal cat owner, phenomenal. And, you know, and obviously there is no family or there is nobody to watch after. So I'd love to just say, hey, you know, keep track of, you know, the older people in your family. You know, you got grandmothers and, you know, grandfathers or whatever the case is. Keep an eye on them. Make sure they, you know what I mean? Make sure they're handling their shit, you know, or something like that. Or if you're getting to the point where you feel like you're losing your shit, you know, like get you some help. Make sure you don't take on too many responsibilities in the later part of your life. Which, again, I don't think that there's people listening to this show that are going to be like, oh, that Yakuza Kick Radio had a good point. Like, but I don't know. And again, I mean, maybe, you know, support places like the place I work for. Again, I'm not putting this shit out on air like that. And I'm not really just looking for like, yeah, fucking, you know, send money or whatever. But I mean, if anybody by any chance does, you know, feel the need to, you know, support a, you know, an animal shelter, or like an organization like the one I work for, you know, you could always contact me privately. I could definitely direct you to some. I'll help you find some in your area if it's not, you know, the ones that, you know, I work for. But nah, it's no worries like that. I just kind of wanted to get the story out there because it's, you know, what I was dealing with today. It was crazy stuff. And like I said, the amount of money that was like, you know, in this person's life, and then what it ended up turning into, and the good intentions that turned into what it was, man, it's crazy, crazy stuff. And yeah, I just more or less, again, I there's really no finale or there's no moral to the story, is, you know, a lesson to be learned, but like, it's just, I guess, some thought to put into something, because just what I had to deal with today. So I figured I'd definitely put it out there because I can't stop thinking about it. And I've dealt with a couple of these other situations before in the past, like I said. Figure, you know, add a little time to the show, you know, get something off my chest. And, you know, I mean, maybe you guys find it interesting. I don't know. I just think it's really sad. It's definitely a lot to deal with. There's so many different levels. You can look at that shit and it's like, man, that's, wow. That's something else, man. So I don't know, but, I think I'll pretty much wrap it up off of that. That's why I didn't want to put it in the beginning of the show or in the middle of the show, to feel like, yeah, it's kind of a downer. So what can you do? Life is life, man. All right. So check out my friends over at the Wrestling Soup tomorrow night. At WrestlingSoup.com, they do their show at like 10:15 tomorrow night. You know, you can check out the Shiznet. I believe they come on at 8 o'clock tomorrow night. And check out Yolanda over there. She does gimmick tees and the indie grind. She's doing all sorts of things, from the radio show to the T-shirts. She's a very supportive person in the indie wrestling business. And you can always see her tweeting and Facebooking during the wrestling shows. She's a very, very active speaker during wrestling shows. She's a lot of fun to pay attention to. Love Yolanda. Check her out. Women Love Wrestling too. They did their show tonight. Check them out on iTunes, because listening to me babble, you probably missed them. So get them on iTunes. I believe it's blogtalkradio.com/WLW2. If I'm wrong, I don't know. Just look up Women Love Wrestling 2 if it didn't come up under that on iTunes. Subscribe to them so you get them every single week. Check out Stern Nation, my dude Andrew Carluck, and B-Slammin' and Steph over there. You know, check them out. You like the Howard Stern Show? Of course you do. Check them out, because they're going to wrap it up. They're going to tell you what it is, you know, he's been doing all week. Yeah, they have Whack Packers on there. They have all sorts of things on there that any Stern fan would be definitely a fan of listening to, because it's just more Stern content, and, you know, no one could get enough of that. So check that out as well. The Sports Den wasn't on tonight because, as I said, they're spreading their sports knowledge all over the country tonight. They got Dube down in Jacksonville. You got Nick and Roy heading to fucking Philly. I don't even know why, but they're heading there. So, you know, you got all this stuff going on. And definitely check out, like I said, Two Moms, One Show. You know, their makeup show will be on Friday. Hopefully Natalie will be able to do that. But either way, there will be a show on Friday. And, you know, their normal show day would be Tuesday. And I'll be back next Wednesday. Same time, same fucking thing. www.blogtalkradio.com/Yakuza. Check me out. And please continue to spread the word. Tell your friends. I really love the numbers I had last week. And I really don't know if I can believe them. But going to go ahead and pretend like I can for a half a second and say, please keep listening, please keep telling your friends. I enjoy all y'all, and I hope y'all enjoy me. I'll check you motherfuckers out next week. Peace.
But you go to the back and you tell your boss that there's a new Yakuza in town, and it's Yakuza Kick Radio, and we're taking over.